This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 104. Tom, you're holding a cold, icy cold can of soft drink.
It's hot.
You also haven't opened it yet.
Nah.
Just warm yourself up.
I've got an ouch on my hand, so I'm just cooling it off.
Doesn't look like fun.
Nah.
So if you hear little whimpers.
I'm pushing through.
Okay.
We're all good.
You're a champion.
We're all good.
Yeah. You're the brave hero that we all need.
I'm flexing.
Yes. We got a quiz coming up very soon. I will be talking about the wonderful, it was fine, program of Daybreak on Netflix, you know, the zombie show.
Yes, sure.
And also, I finally got around to watching the movie version of a book that I had listened to the audio version.
That is a convoluted setup.
It was very convoluted. And I'll tell you what I think of it.
Nice. I saw some of Queer Eye in Japan.
Oh, yeah?
They were having a lot of fun.
That'd be fun.
Uh-huh. And I got some good news. And I've also been just playing a lot of Planet Zoo.
Fantastic. I've got questions about Planet Zoo. Well, let's crack into the news. The first one that I've got that was probably one of those, oh, that's coming back, and then went, of course that's coming back. Weeds, the TV show,
what?
Is coming back.
From Kenji?
Yeah. But the weird thing is she's not actually involved in the remake. Well, it's not a remake. It's a 10 years later.
Okay. And is this off the back of Orange is the New Black finishing and, you know, what's the next thing to do?
I think maybe someone went in and went, you know, Weeds wouldn't be a show now because
it's
weed
legal.
Is legal. And they went, well, let's make a show about that. So Mary Louise Parker, she's on board. She's going to executive produce it. It's a potential new series. So super early days. But Lionsgate TV are really on board with it.
So is it checking in with what she's up to now?
Yeah. So 10 years later, it's going to look at the family. I can't remember the name of the family.
Well,
but it's going to look at the family.
I would assume that the youngest son grew up to be a serial killer.
Yeah, he was always.
He was very, very dark by the, like, full disclosure, I really loved Weeds at the start, and by the end, I hated that show. Her character was awful.
But that was kind of the bit that I think for a lot of people they enjoyed because she was not a nice character.
They just kept going with it further.
Yeah,
and
they
further.
made her worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole entire series and really enjoyed it. But I think those first couple of seasons were probably my favourites. But that's like most shows, right?
That season that ended with the cliffhanger of her being in the crosshairs.
Yes.
That's where the show should have ended.
Oh, so that was the jump the shark.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in, like, if they're coming together for her funeral, I'm really on board with that show.
Maybe. They don't say.
That I'm, you know, it won't be that, but that's how I would love to see a show about a family dealing with the ramifications of their father becoming Walter White. Or,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a show that is interesting rather than seeing how Nancy got out of it again this time.
Well, wasn't that sort of the premise of Desperate Housewives in that one of the housewives in the beginning, like the very first show episode pilot, is that this woman has died?
Yes. The voiceover.
Yeah, the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brenda?
I can't remember.
I think the woman that played her was Brenda.
Okay. Yeah. I know it had Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
And
Marsha.
Eva Longoria?
Yep.
And then
Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how I just point in a general direction. You knew exactly who that was.
Oh, that's international
the
symbol for jail.
Yes.
That's what the guy in the Do Not Pass Go.
Do Not Pass Go Monopoly. Yeah, so Weeds potentially coming back.
There you go.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
I I've got no problems admitting I think the world was 110% wrong in overlooking the mini disc. It was small, aka mini, and it was a disc. Discs have been used for thousands of years for all sorts of things like listening to music, storing data, and throwing in the air. There's a reason why discus is one of the biggest sports in the Olympics. It's because humans were meant to have discs. It's round, you know, like the wheel. We invented the wheel to get to the disc. I truly believe that. From the wheel, to the record, to the CD, to the mini disc. Vinyl has had its moment in the retro sun, and now it's time for the mini disc to reign supreme. I want to get the world big time into them again. So I'm starting a revolution. The mini disc revolution. Who's with me? Give my Patreon money. Thanks.
We've been wondering when The Boys season 2 would kick off for Amazon Prime.
Because we knew it was going to.
That's right. They've been filming for a while. Carl Urban posted a photo the other day that they have wrapped filming for season 2 and we should expect it mid-2020.
Mm, cool.
So probably roughly the same time that we got it this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they try and tie it with Comic-Con again next year because it did so well this year.
It worked. Yeah, it really worked well.
Umbrella Academy season 2 has also finished filming. I believe that was over in London that they wrapped up there.
Exciting.
So we don't know when that one will be because Netflix hasn't said, but it won't be this year.
No, it won't be this year. I'm trying to think when it came out.
I think around February.
It was definitely before Stranger Things, which was in July.
Yes, I think it was February or March, somewhere around that period.
Yeah, I feel like that's about right.
Yeah, I think it was almost a birthday treat for me, 10th of March. Mark it in your calendars, everybody.
Happy birthday. Here, have a second season of a great show.
I know. I was pretty impressed by that. We'll talk Good Place later, but Mike Schur news and this and whatnot. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back February 6th. It's a one-hour premiere that's called Die Harder. Now, Jake Peralta is obsessed with Die Hard. If they recreate Die Hard, which they've done elements of before, but I can see them going for a bit of that. Maybe Bruce Willis?
That would be so cool.
I mean, it's his dream to meet Bruce Willis. Well, it's his main dream to meet John McClane.
I love it when shows have a famous person that they constantly refer to, and you know there's no way in hell they're ever going to get that person on TV, so on their show. So to actually have Bruce Willis on the show, that'd be awesome.
Well, Psych did it with Val Kilmer. They shouted out Val Kilmer so often that the very, very last episode of the show, someone who was a like a low-level cop who we'd only really ever seen the back of his head turned around, it was Val Kilmer.
That's good. That's a nice payoff.
Yeah, yeah. That's so a really I'd love nice Bruce payoff. Willis being snuck in there somewhere. Also, the Good Place finale is going to be an extended ep.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure exactly how much by, but it's a 90-minute block that it's going to be airing in, and there's going to be an after show hosted by Seth Meyers.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool. A little bit of a debrief.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be questions they can answer. I mean, like, there might be some great existential questions, some very big questions we're left with from the finale that they can answer.
He's hoping.
Yes.
I actually, speaking of Good Place, I found a bit of news about Darcy Carden.
Mm.
Now, Amazon are making a pilot based on, do you remember the movie A League of Their Own?
I do. That was baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, Babe's Ball.
Babe's Ball. So it's going to have Darcy Carden and Broad City's Abby Jacobson in it. Abby's also writing and executive producing it. It's going to be a half-hour comedy based on the movie. Pretty keen. Like, I remember watching that movie a lot when I was a kid. We loved it.
Gina Davis
and Laurie Petty.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell was in it. Madonna was in it. Tom Hanks was in it. A lot of people. And this is the weird thing. So when I read that, I went, oh, yeah, I can see that. Do a remake of that as a TV show because they're traveling. You know, it's a whole season of baseball. But then I read it's going to be set in modern day and I went, but the premise of the show is the men have gone to war in World War II. Let's set up a female baseball league to fill that place. So
maybe it's going to be a modern version about gender, like pay disparity and
maybe A contemporary version of an all-American girls professional baseball league.
It could be the updated version of the old got to let a woman play on the team. That was a trope in the 80s. And instead now it's letting a female team join the league. I could see that being an angle.
I'm also not too worried about it because it's got Abby Jacobson. Sure. And Broad City's hilarious. So I'm sure that she's going to do great stuff with it. And the fact that Darcy's now part of it.
Yes.
That also says that there's probably something to this.
I think so.
Yeah. So very cool. They're only just going to film it, or at least it hasn't been filmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got ages to wait. But I'll wait.
Yeah.
In that I'll forget that it exists, and then when I hear more news about it, I go, oh, that's right. I was interested in that.
What other sports movies should they do? Obviously, you'd like a hockey movie, right?
Yeah. The only hockey movie I've ever seen, I'm pretty
Bend
sure.
Bend It Like Beckham?
That was soccer.
Oh, yeah. But isn't there a bit where they play some hockey? I seem to remember hockey sticks somewhere in that movie.
There was an Indian movie called Shuck Day India. And it was the female Indian hockey team training up to go to like the world championships where they played the evil Australia.
Oh, so it's Cool Runnings.
It's Cool Runnings. But us as like the top dog that the underdog had to beat down. It wasn't bad.
Struth, stop her. She's going for the goal.
I reckon it was probably about 2005, something like that. So I don't know what luck you would have trying to find it now.
Sure. Do the Aussies say things like, oh, we got this game in the pouch?
Come on. With subtitles underneath what they're saying.
Answering Ryder's Pup Patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, the Soup's coming back.
Hey, I've got that as a new story too.
So who is this new
a
host?
A comedian.
Have you seen her before? Her name's Jade Catapretta.
I have not.
I haven't seen her either. They say that she's been in stuff, but...
I'm sure she has, but not that I have seen myself.
But then when I think about it, I didn't know who Joel McHale was when he did it, or what was her name, the one who did it before him?
Aisha.
Yeah. Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know who
she
was.
It's a good springboard for people.
Yeah.
It's a good way to transition from being a nobody at E to
somebody.
A D or C list maybe.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
If you hang shit on the rest of the industry, you're probably not going to rise up too high in the industry.
Joel McHale did all right.
Oh, he's done very well for what he, you know.
Yeah, from where he started.
Yeah.
So that will be coming back in early 2020, which is really soon, which is scary.
Well, I don't think it takes particularly long for them to turn around.
No, and it's got to be topical as well.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Speaking of topical,
mm-hmm.
Fresh Off the Boat has been cancelled.
I saw that.
Yes. So I believe they'll finish out the season okay. six. All of their contracts were through to the end of season six.
Okay, because this season was the one that they weren't sure they were going to do.
Well, I think everyone was sure they were going to do it except for Constance Wu.
So she'll be happy. She'll be celebrating.
That's kind of how the internet responded of like, hey, Constance, you got what you wanted. Well done. no, look, most of these big sitcoms, you sign up for six seasons. If the show gets picked up, it's just the nature of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Park, who plays the father, he's not stressed for work. He's runs a production company, and he's the one that took Always Be My Maybe to Netflix. So he's got plenty more fires in the oven. And
he's that kind of actor that I remember when that show started. I went, oh, he's the guy I know. He's the actor I know from this cast.
Yes, he was in The Interview. He played.
That's
Kim Jong.
Right. That was a thing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A while ago.
It's still kind of funny. I watched it again earlier this year. It's not fantastic.
You have to go in knowing what it's going to be, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of going in knowing what it's going to be over in the US, you guys have got Disney Plus. We're not going to get it for a few more days.
But we can't complain because England, most of Europe and stuff doesn't get it till next year.
That's absolutely insane. And how many people in the UK and Europe now will be trying to get a Netherlands VPN? Because Netherlands is the only, I think it was Netherlands, US and Canada, I think, that got them all, like got Disney Plus first. And I think Netherlands got it because they were the place that they were beta testing it.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I also imagine that it's tied up with some sort of carrier deals.
Oh, yeah.
In the States, I believe there's maybe Verizon or someone you can get Disney Plus for free with that. And
it's a
I
good
imagine
deal.
There's some UK deals that are being ironed out.
They're still getting worked on.
Yeah.
Not too many stories of glitches and people not being able to get in. There were a couple.
Oh, see, I saw the flip of for
you
the
saw
States.
Angry?
Yeah, I saw plenty of cranky people. I imagine you and I were probably looking at different times of the day.
We probably were.
Because I was looking when people were getting up at 5:30 in the morning for the launch to see how it went. I was still up and they weren't wrapped with how it was rolling out.
Apparently the East Coast guys had a harder run trying to get in.
Yeah, the first cabs off the rank struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
But apparently now it's working pretty smooth for most people and, yes, the sentiment I agree, is pretty darn positive.
It's pretty good. Now, we were talking about this before we actually hit the record button, but we're a little hesitant to go on to Twitter or whatnot to see what people think of Mandalorian because we want to watch it.
Yep.
But I did see one tweet by Jeremy Conrad. He said, I've watched Mandalorian, Jeff Goldblum, The Imagineering Story, Flight of the Navigator, sampled some old school Star Wars, and my watch list is filled with The Simpsons, X-Men Animated, and Disney Afternoon. Disney Plus is definitely worth the money. So that's from just one guy.
I am really hoping, because they've said that there's going to be a lot of the old Disney adventures and Disney TV show cuts.
Mm.
I'm hoping we get stuff like the proper Goof Troop show and just some of that real cheesy early 90s stuff that they were pumping out.
Do you think you'll get the Mickey Mouse, what were they called, the Mouseketeers with Britney Spears?
Oh, Mouseketeers will be on there for sure. Yeah.
That'll be all right.
Yeah. I want to see Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I want to see The Lady and the Tramp.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some good things about that.
Me
too. A lot
of
people said it's good fun.
Yeah.
And Shay is going to flip for that. A whole movie with dogs, real dogs talking.
Yeah. What is there not to like?
Yeah.
I think particularly for us where we are, it's a great time for it to come out because people are starting to ramp up to school holidays over January is a lot of people going to be at home just having a bit of a relax and streaming stuff as a family, and I think that this is probably a great platform.
Oh, look, if Netflix didn't have Fuller House Season 5 coming in December, I know Shay would already be very interested in jumping ship over to Disney Plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Ricky Gervais.
Mm.
He's the host of the Golden Globes next year again.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, this time he said, and I quote, "Once again, they've made me an offer I can't refuse, but this is the very last time I'm doing this," which could make for a fun evening. It's interesting that they have decided to get a host because, I mean, we had the Oscars were hostless.
Yep.
Golden Globes didn't have a host.
But look, Ricky Gervais, I would imagine, is the most memorable Golden Globes host from recent memory, and he's kind of carved it in the same way that Billy Crystal used to own the Oscars and everyone would tune in because
just
it was a Billy one, and what's that opening montage going to be and this sort of stuff. So it's kind of like, who is Ricky Gervais flippantly going to burn a bridge with at this year's Golden Globes?
And not care.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
It's great. And then he'll go a lot of material for his next stand-up show.
That's true. That's a good point. What else have you got?
I've got one last story and a trailer that I saw.
Cool.
So the news story is just a very side thing. There's a lot of talk, obviously, with Disney Plus of the shows coming and the Marvel shows. There's been various stuff revealed over the last 24 hours that I've dipped my toe in. There's some very cool animation sequences for the What If series.
Oh,
what everyone's going to look like.
Yep.
And there's been confirmation that She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, and Moon Knight will all cross over to the movies.
Okay.
They'll all start in their TV series and move up, which is what everyone hoped with the Netflix Marvel characters. But the one that tickled me quite a bit was that Jessica Gao, who is a writer, she's going to be the showrunner on She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
She previously wrote the Pickle Rick episode of Rick and Morty.
I thought you were going to say Walking Dead or something.
No, so she's known for writing really, really out there surreal stuff that has a like deep introspective bent.
Now, for people who are not huge like Marvel comic book readers, will that work well for this show?
So She-Hulk,
or for this character, I should
say. Yes, She-Hulk is Bruce Banner's cousin. She's involved in a horrible accident and has a blood transfusion from him. Whoops, he has Hulk blood.
Oh, no one thought that through.
So she gets big like Hulk, but doesn't lose her mind with anger. So she's like an 8-foot-tall green lawyer.
Okay.
And her series, most of the time, are very Ally McBeal, or like they're very comedic takes. And whereas Daredevil, a lot of his lawyer storylines will be representing the worst of the worst villains. Mm. Her ones are representing the guy that got accidentally stuck inside a grizzly bear costume okay. and so decided to fight crime like that.
Right, okay, yeah.
Really.
Yeah, just silly stuff.
Very, very silly, dumb things. A lot of romantic sort of stuff, you know, whether she should date a human-sized guy and shrink down to his size, or stay big and potentially crush him, or does she only date super-powered people and that makes rumors go through the community about her?
She's got so many options.
Uh-huh.
Goodness.
Yeah.
All right, so based on that and the fact that she's written some stuff or one episode for Rick and Morty, it sounds like she could do some really cool stuff.
I think so. When she's Jen Walters, she's quite quiet and not insecure, but keeps to herself. And whereas Hulk is loud and brash and wants to punch things in, Jen is the life. Like when she's She-Hulk, she's kind of the life of the party and is super charismatic and everyone wants to be around her and stuff. So it's a different take on that Jekyll and Hyde thing of, instead of an angry rage monster, it's the charismatic, hedonistic, do anything, and then Jen has to live with the
consequences. I'm just trying to think. Whilst you were saying that, I was imagining who she could be paired up in scenes in new Marvel movies, and I thought Thor.
Yeah, you called it. They're dating at the moment. Well, they're not exactly dating. I believe it's been referred to as smashing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems appropriate.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Thor's not particularly interested in her when she's in human form.
Damn.
Happy to have a chat with her and that sort of stuff, but just not the same vibes. And when she switches back, it's on. Yep.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
The last one is a trailer, and it's something that I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. It's for a film called Code 8, and this is from the Amell brothers, who Stephen Amell is the Arrow, the Green Arrow, and Robbie Amell is, cousins. It's his first cousin or something like this, and he played Firestorm and in The Flash and was in that Arrow universe. Been off doing other things, but this is a film that they raised money through Kickstarter for. And it's the idea that in the future, 4% of the population starts exhibiting superpowers. And they're very small. They're not, you know, not flight and this sort of stuff, but, you know.
Stuff that humans shouldn't be able to do.
That's right. And we're following one character who can emit a very small electric pulse. And it's whether he can generate this sort of stuff. And he basically like sits outside the front of Bunnings waiting for work. It's that type of thing. And he gets swept up in what looks to be a criminal organization, but it could be a revolutionary organization looking to take down the system that has.
So it could be the Star Wars Rebellion.
Very much so. But there's a totalitarian government in place suppressing powers and this sort of stuff. There's drones constantly surveilling and keeping track of the people who are powered. I think this could be kind of cool.
Sounds like a huge universe that they're setting up for a film.
They've been working on this idea for years, and it really shows in this trailer. And they don't have the biggest budget, but they've clearly taken a long time to work on the special effects. It looks really good.
Cool.
And the people involved, like I have a lot of respect for Stephen Amell. I haven't seen him phone it in anything I've ever been in, he's ever been in. And if this is the thing he's putting his name on as produced, you know, starring, all this sort of stuff.
Then it's all right by you.
Yep.
What's it called again?
Code 8.
Code 8. That does pique my interest.
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some stuff that we've been watching or enjoying.
Yes.
Because I know that you've been doing some other stuff apart from watching. Did you want to crack into that?
Sure. It's mainly what my brain thinks about at the moment, but Planet Zoo finally came out. I've talked about it a lot. It's fantastic.
So it's only on PC and you're basically building and managing and maintaining a zoo.
That's right. If you've played any management games in the past, like a Zoo Tycoon or a Roller Coaster Tycoon, a theme park.
Sim City sort of stuff?
Sim City to a slightly different extent.
Okay.
It's this weird, it's a lot like those, but there's a different element on top.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've played a theme park game, you know what it's like. You design everything out, you get it all working perfectly, and you let it go, and it makes a lot of money.
Mm.
This on top of that, the animals are very, very responsive, and each of them has their own AI and do weird shit. There's no other way to put it. The guys that make this game worked with zookeepers and zoos for 2.5 years researching. Every animal makes the right noise. They behave as you would expect, but not as you need them to. So they could be starving and you can take food in there and they're not interested. So you build everything and you get that all perfect, but the zoo will never let it be perfect because there's all these real elements interacting with one another.
I was watching somebody play it on Twitch because I knew that you were into it. Mm. I knew that you were going to talk about it. So I thought, I'm going to watch some of it. And she said that some animals at this particular point in time were glitching a little, well, not glitching, bugging, as in she found that the elephants were super aggressive. So she just wasn't using them. But she was talking about, I don't know what animal it was, but that it would suddenly be getting cold. And then she realized it was because it was walking underneath its waterfall or fountain or something, getting itself wet and then getting cold and complaining about it.
Sure. You can install heaters or chillers because, you know, if you're building a zoo in the desert and you want to have some bears, they need a cold cave.
So you can – okay, so it's not just like this is the island where you do the zoo. You can really control the terrain – amazing.
Every single thing. So every tree, bush, rock, you control where it goes.
Wow.
You can build a shelter for an animal and just drop down a pre-built wooden one. Mm-hmm. Or you can lay down a few pieces of, you know, straw and grass for the ground and then use different rocks and build up
a little cave or something.
Yes.
That's cool.
And then perhaps you build part of the exhibit so it cuts through the back of that cave and you can put one-way glass.
So people can...
Everyone can see in and watch them laying in their bed, but the stuff inside isn't bothered by what's outside.
So with... Okay, I got a few questions. Mm. Question number one is the animals are temperamental in that they will be happy or sad about stuff. Does that apply for the public that are coming in to explore?
So you've got to keep people happy as well. Mm-hmm. So you're also building shops and toilets and...
Monorails?
You can do monorails or riverboat safaris. I haven't gotten to building a single monorail or safari or anything yet. That's way past where I'm at.
Okay.
It's taking, like, it's very, it's, I won't say fiddly, but it's a really, really intense control system.
You can micromanage.
Yes. And learning how everything works takes a long time. So I have played through most of the career stuff, which is, there's some tutorial at the beginning of that, and it gives you an idea on how things are. But it wasn't until like hour 40 or something that I learned how to properly use the cloning tool so that if I wanted to make something circular, I could put down some flat ones, put it on different angles across from it, clone them, and then drop it out in a circular motion.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? All this sort of stuff. And just this morning I discovered that you can do tunnels.
Oh,
so you can make a walkway underneath a hippo's pool.
My memory is San Diego Zoo's got that. Or not a tunnel, but I'm pretty sure.
Big window, yeah. So you can see them dancing under the water.
That's really cool. And the other question I have is, what animals do you have in your zoo at the moment?
So there's a few different modes, and franchise is the one that's online and you trade with other people and stuff like that. And I have some Nile monitors and Komodo dragons, so two big pits of lizards that are just pumping out babies all the time, and I trade them off.
Mm.
And I used some of that to buy some Chinese pangolin, which are one of the world's most endangered animals. They're kind of kind of think like an armadillo, but can climb trees. So it can roll up in a ball and all this sort of stuff. And it's poached and exotic pet trade and all this sort of stuff.
And because of that, do those animals become quite the attraction?
Big time. Yeah. So they are my big ticket item in the zoo.
Mm.
And, you know, I could be going the other direction and trying to get giraffes and big stuff, but I kind of enjoy doing the smaller exhibits to start and making some money. But these guys are bossy.
Really? Why? Why? What are they doing?
They're like, I want a new toy. So I chuck a cardboard box in and 5 minutes later, which is 6 months of game time, they're like, I'm bored.
Mm.
So I've got to take the cardboard box out and put in a rubber ball. Take that out, put out a scratching post and this sort of stuff. And so, I mean, the lizards just don't care.
Mm.
They get born, whatever's in there, they're happy with that until they die. But some of these other animals get really fussy. And there's all sorts of different mechanics. So hippos, crocodiles, anything that swims needs, you know, you get told how much land space it needs, but it also needs water space. And then monkeys, tigers, you know, a lot of the animals that can climb, lemurs and things like that, you actually have to build vertical climbable surfaces.
That's fun. That's and really fun.
There's templates you can use for those, but on the other hand, there are individual elements. So I spent like 2 hours building literal monkey bars that went like 40 meters in the air, and they could climb up real high and check out what's happening everywhere around and were happy.
And that, this is the kind of game I reckon that you, because it's only on PC.
Yeah.
So you would play on your PC, you probably don't need to hear what's going on too much. So you would just put on a playlist of some or a podcast or something. So whilst you get really super engaged and it's also a little bit relaxing.
It is, but I kind of like you can have it set to generic music, but the whole time a big part of it is you've got to educate the public. So you're putting up education boards and speakers that pump out educational messages and stuff, but you also put up speakers that put out nice ambient music. So you know, all around my lizards I've set up so there's crickets chirping and frogs croaking and this sort of stuff. And that's kind of really nice to play to. So I haven't needed as much of putting on podcasts or things like that. Mm. I probably could, but it's also kind of nice to just
You're enjoying the whole thing.
Yeah, make a jungle atmosphere.
100% of it. Well, that sounds like something that's going to keep you busy for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not looking at any other games anytime soon.
Yeah, fair enough.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I finished the season one, or potentially, I reckon there'll be a second season of Daybreak. That show that we saw the preview of.
With Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about a group of teenagers from a high school and the end of the world happens and all adults are either killed or are known as ghoulies.
Okay.
Not like schoolies, but ghoulies. So they're basically zombies, but they constantly say the last thing they were thinking about. And it's always really mundane stuff like, I need to go to Lululemon to get extra pair of tights or something. You know, and they just keep saying that over and over and over again. But they attack teenagers. But these teenagers still are in their social groups. So you've got like the jocks, you've got the golf club, you've got the outcasts, you've got the people who emulate Kardashians, that sort of thing. And Matthew Broderick was the principal, because there's some flashbacks and stuff like that of this school. And it reminded me of Ready Player One.
Okay.
In that it was about teenagers, but the references were for people who were older. So the references were written by the writers who were in the 30s and 40s. So there were references that I got, and I'm thinking, you actor who just said that would have no idea what you've just talked about. Yeah. Which, and they broke the fourth wall a lot. Like they would talk to the camera. They would often say, I'm taking the narration now. It's going to be my show for this episode. And they would just constantly reference stuff that I thought, I'm not sure who the audience is. It's clearly for teenagers, but there's stuff that would just go over their head for no reason.
Do you think they're trying to get both audiences?
I think they are. And I watched it and it was fun. It was good fun, but I probably wouldn't have watched the whole entire season if I didn't want to talk about it.
Sure. How many episodes?
Between 8 and 10, something like that.
Okay.
Can't quite.
Half hour or hour episodes?
About 45 minutes.
All right.
Yeah. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first two episodes are probably going to give you a good enough idea as to whether you're going to like it or not. But, of course, I was intrigued by the premise because of this whole zombie thing.
Of course.
So,
of course.
But, yeah, Daybreak.
You and I enjoy a zombie comedy.
Absolutely.
Zombity.
So, a zombie? Surely someone's come up with that phrase
I've
before,
heard that
right?
Before.
Okay. Yeah. Zombity. Daybreak with Matthew Broderick. It was also nice that he was in it when you know that he's Ferris Bueller. But
oh,
then
of
again, do teenagers watching this know that? I don't know.
That,
you see what
so
I mean?
Always,
like, it's a bit confusing.
Yeah, I did wonder about that, the Deadpool 1, where it finishes with that, like, not even shout out to Ferris Bueller, just the direct ripoff of Ferris Bueller, of whether the young people in the audience got that at
all. It's.
I don't think he cared.
I think these people do care. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Still waiting outside a pizzeria for Fry to return? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, you said you also watched some Queer Eye.
Yes, there was some new Queer Eye that hit the other day right when Lynn, Shay and I sat down to eat some pizza.
Oh, good timing. Good show to watch.
So one night we had pizza and then the next night we ordered in some Chinese and watched another ep.
Perfect.
That was very good. Yeah,
perfect.
They've look, probably behind the scenes stuff, but they're not working in Atlanta at the moment. There's plenty going on there that you can go and research yourself if you don't know why they might not be so interested in working in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So they've got a new HQ over in Japan at
That's
the moment.
That's amazing.
And they are dropping in to people with a translator and just it is a very different cultural reaction to what they get from their American.
So in America and also the Australian one where they went to Yas, the people are polite and slightly bamboozled, but they kind of know what they're going, what they're expecting. Because also, this is the second version of Queer Eye. So the first one, I felt like, because I watched some of the original cast.
Back in the day with
Carson. Yeah, that's right. And I watched it maybe earlier this year, and they just go in like it's just confusing. It's a lot.
I can't compare that show to this one because the old one's so snarky and
it really is, and this
so
one,
catty about straight people and stuff, whereas this is the most positive show on TV.
That I can think of, yeah.
Maybe Making It, I might put just above.
Okay.
But it's both that idea
Queer
of...
Queer Eye is just so positive and...
And it makes you cry.
Yeah,
it's so positive that it makes you cry.
So how is it with the Japanese
it's so
people
good.
That they...
They're so help. Respectful. And, you know, the first episode was quite beautiful. It was a woman who runs like a hospice and looks after elderly people as they pass and has been doing that for years in this community to the point where her house gets used kind of as the community center and she sleeps under the table at her neighbor's. And so they step in and so much of this episode is teaching her about self-worth and, you know, helping her come to terms with the fact that she'd lost someone very close to her and had refused to forgive herself for maybe not being there. And that's why she now runs this hospice and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of them are, you know, a lot of the episodes are helping people with a physical transformation and a little bit of mental help to maybe push them back to where they need to be.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was working through a translator in a different language, different culture and completely different customs, but helping this lady with things that brought her joy.
And did it work?
So well. You know, the haircut, the makeover, that stuff was great. But watching this woman try on fashionable clothes for the first time in probably 20 years was a beautiful moment. And you could see life.
She was changing.
Yes, her posture changed.
And
all of a sudden, she went from shuffling to strutting.
Wow.
And her shoulders pulled back. And, it's such a good show.
See, when... You just made me think about, do you remember that show Trini and Susanna? They would give women makeovers as well, but they really didn't make it feel nice. Where these guys are just able to make it such a positive.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got Charming Anthony in the kitchen and, I don't know, the design guy does all the work. Like everyone else
and always has.
But everyone else probably gets like a $500 budget for the episode of here's what you get to do for your fun.
Yeah.
And he's, sorry, guys, I spent 30 grand again.
Oh, well.
And he'd have a team of like 12 guys or something, 12 people doing all the work for him.
Can't have one person just do that themselves. But also, this is Queer Eye, like not reinventing itself, but like it's giving the show some freshness as well.
Very much so.
When you would think that potentially that show doesn't need to change for it to work, but the fact that they will change and have it work.
And I think it's the fact that it's a very progressive show.
Yeah.
And they're trying different things. You know, this first episode was helping this lady with her mental health. The second one is, and something that's really a problem in Japan, was teaching an asexual guy or a guy who's given up on any hope of finding love.
Yeah.
Of how to act around women, how to behave in such a way that you love yourself so that you could learn to love someone else.
Yeah.
This, I don't know, it's deep, man.
Yeah.
It's really deep.
But you can still also just watch it.
Oh, you could just watch it and be like, pizza. Oh, look, he got some great clothes.
Yeah.
And you can look at it at surface level, but I mean, it's, you know, I cry easy. I've cried at commercials.
You get into the show.
I've cried at, not even like with this show, just in general in life. I've cried at commercials, but this show guaranteed.
You need the box of tissues before it starts.
I have one in my little holster on the couch.
It's the emergency one, mm-hmm. used often. Well, that's awesome. Well, I sat down and watched Mortal Engines, which we know came out and was a bit lackluster. And
yeah.
I think people were disappointed because
the came and went a bit.
Yeah, the book, or I should say books, were very popular and successful. And I listened to it on audiobook and it was cool. I really enjoyed the first story and it was continuing off somewhere and I went, I don't think I need to invest in this series of books. But I enjoyed the first one for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was intrigued to see what didn't happen or what was missing in the movie. And they did change some things around a little bit. There were storylines where I was thinking, that character was far more involved in the demise of that other character.
Sure.
That, you know, that character helped out a lot more instead of just being like, hey, I'm this person in relation to this person. Okay. There were some surprises for me. I knew that Hugo Weaving was in it and he played
a bad
Valentine.
Guy?
Yeah, of course he's always the bad guy, right?
No.
Well, true.
V.
That's a good point.
Nabil would be very disappointed.
I'm sorry, Nabil.
Right now.
Quick, lock the door before he comes in and starts shouting.
He doesn't need to shout.
Just come and talk. Just talk and we'll hear him. But also Robert Sheehan, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Old mate from Misfits and Umbrella.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. He's the main character. He's Tom.
I did see him in the poster.
I just saw the girl with the, you know, the handkerchief over her face.
Is he doing his accent or is it an American thing?
No, he's from London. He's from the city of London. So he's doing a London accent.
Is he Irish? I think he's Irish.
He was Irish.
Yeah.
Look at me not checking. Go on, shout at the car speaker or...
I'm going to lean my ear in closer.
Your phone.
Oh,
okay. Thanks
cool.
for that.
Right.
That's cool. Like, it was a fun movie. I was comparing it to the book and I think it was still fine as is. It was just one weird storyline where I just went, you spent a lot of time setting that up and then suddenly it was over and done with. Really quickly, and then we all moved on.
I thought it was a confusing name because it's Mortal Engines, right? I'm sure there was a movie not too long ago called Mortal Instruments.
Oh, okay. Well, Mortal Engines is it's set well into the future where cities have...
They're on wheels, right?
Yeah, they're on wheels. And the bigger the city is, the more powerful it is, and it will go and literally consume smaller cities or towns that are on wheels.
Are there any cities like on the back of Optimus Prime?
Not on the back of Optimus Prime, but they do. So London is on, they want to go to these new hunting grounds.
Right.
Because, you know, resources are scarce where they are, and they will stop at nothing to get there. And the ancients' technology, which is our technology, is far more advanced than theirs. But then I think we wouldn't be able to put a city on wheels. But anyway, and that's what it's all about. Potentially some people are using the ancients' technology to better their situation.
Hmm.
It's just an action movie.
Sure.
Basically. Should we talk about something that we both enjoyed this week?
Yes.
The Good Place.
Let's do it. That was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one.
I feel like we need to put a proper spoiler warning right now for
Good Place. Yeah, that's true because we will be talking about this episode and a lot of stuff happened and a lot of stuff has been set up.
Yes.
First off, I'm just going to say Brent.
So. He's very brave, you know. He's just yelling from this hole to make sure you know he's okay. Very brave.
The way he Chitty, threw how did you get to
yeah. Well, the way he threw in that very brave was very Trump.
Yeah.
But like his whole attitude this episode was Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that.
It's that indignant. No, I belong here.
Yeah. And Chitty finding out once again that it's not actually the good place.
Yep. And that soulmates aren't a thing. That was heartbreaking.
That was.
I respect you. Yeah. I respect your position.
Yeah.
And I felt for John because he caved.
Mm.
It, in his defense, it did just like it did go from hot gossip to relevant AF.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we had Simone say more than just a couple of slightly irritating things.
I've grown to dislike her more and more.
And it's not just the accent now.
No, I've come to realize that she represents like rationalism, or it's not quite atheism, or it's sort of stuff, but like it's the refusal to consider the question.
What I think is interesting about her is when you put her up against Eleanor in terms of someone that Chitty would think would be his soulmate. Because I was thinking about it after the episode, I'm like, those two are so different.
Yep.
Yet he was convinced both times that that was his soulmate.
She's a scientist, so she's all about finding the answer to every question.
Mm.
Whereas he's a philosopher, so his deal is finding a question for every answer.
Yeah.
They can't work.
And then Eleanor's just there as this
Arizona trash bag.
Yeah, that's right. Who is now somehow in charge of the experiment.
Yeah. Which is over.
It's all done with. And you know what I got excited about when that episode finished? I was like, oh, we're going to see Maya Rudolph again.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see Frogman?
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so too.
Oh, we'll definitely see him before the end of the whole entire show.
Yeah.
He's got to be there.
We've got to see something with Sean soon and what's happening with Bad Janet, because she's been gone now 6 months with the book.
Yep. She's got the book that she didn't really care about, but I think she did.
That book's got to be important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really liked Tahani mentioning that Jason could potentially be a demon in a Jason suit. I read a crazy theory the other day.
Ooh, I like theories. Let's go.
That's on board. I'm with that. So the bad place keeps messing with the experiment. The good place has never shown any interest in this whatsoever.
Not even a presence.
Not even when they ended up in the mailroom of heaven did anyone actually show up.
We just saw Nicole.
What if Jason has been a mole from the good place all along and they wiped his brain going in there? And he actually is like a monk type.
And
thing.
He's not Jason.
Yeah.
He is actually, wow. Yeah.
It won't be that, but it still blew my mind of like, that's really good. What if he has been playing dumb the whole time?
I love that.
It's not that at all, because his relationship with Janet, you know.
There's so much there.
But just the idea that he, you know, they're all becoming who they were supposed to be when they were pitched in heaven. Chidi has become this decisive thinker, and Tahani cares about people other than herself being included. And Jason is becoming wise and making analogies that work.
And Eleanor is getting stuff done for the good of other people, not just herself.
She still gets a plate of nachos out of the deal from time to time.
Come on, and the margarita.
Yeah. That was pretty good. You would want a margarita or some sort of celebratory drink.
Yeah, you'd
drink.
Need something after that. All right, so moving forward, what
I don't know.
It's not the show that you can predict.
Where do they go? They're like, so the experiment is paused now, or hit the buzzer, whatever you want to call it. It's done. Do those characters now blink? Are they with the Soul Squad? Does Brent join them and not Simone and... Because
the audience wants Brent to be in every episode from now on.
I think part of the audience would love Brent to be gone.
Really?
So we can focus on the originals.
Okay.
But if this ends up being that the experiment was actually on the four originals, which is what it's probably but that saving Brent helps them and they're now stuck with him. Because John and Simone never had it confirmed to them that this is the bad place. They ran off in the car, and she suspects, but Chidi already knew and had, you know, memory wipe. Yeah. Brent had no idea, and they confirmed it for him before it ended. So does his existence, is it now?
Is he tainted so that he has,
But he didn't find out on Earth while alive, which invalidated the stuff for the other. It's so convoluted to try and guess.
Can you imagine their whiteboard? Oh. They'd have several of them.
They've got one guy, I can't remember his name, but they've got one guy who's in charge of remembering all this shit.
Oh my god!
All these big shows do. Like Lost had a guy as well. You've got to have one person that's kind of the bookkeeper.
So that you don't end up with,
And you can't do that. Why? That character only wears red pocket squares on the left.
You got to tie up all the things at the end of the, which is what Game of Thrones didn't have.
Also, I want Ted Danson to come to my house and do a magic show.
It was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was so good. That bit when he puts his sleeves up and the coins fall out. And it's so obviously unintentional, but he waits a beat and then goes, that was unintentional. Killed me.
He's so good. He's a classic.
Yep. Special guy.
Absolutely. What about Walking Dead?
This episode be called Walking Dead. Carol's Got a Plan. Might not be a good one.
Carol's plan is not a good one.
No.
And it's not been since we first saw her in the beginning of this season.
But I love that she's having a bad plan and it's going to blow up horribly. And Negan's got a great plan and it's going to blow up horribly.
No one else has got a plan, so.
Nah, everyone else just sitting around waiting.
Getting sick and not figuring out why.
Well, it's got to be guts in the river, right?
Of course it is. Ugh. I haven't figured it out. Where's Aaron? Why hasn't he said anything? Why has he not gone back and said, oh, there's zombies and the guts are flowing?
Because it's not his character's episode yet. Great, come on. Yeah. Still like two more episodes in this half of the season.
Fair enough. Yeah, we don't have that many episodes left of The Walking Dead for this year.
No.
This is kind of the only time of the year where we get a solid break from Walking Dead.
Yeah, we get our Christmas break, don't we?
Yeah. I know. Imagine all the Planet Zoo hours of playing you can get into. Disney Plusing. It's going to be all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic. Time. Where are they from? Where were these actors born?
Oh, okay.
There's quite a few in here. I know you're going to get really
before
easily.
We begin. Are any of them wrestlers? Because I'll guess hails from parts unknown already.
Answer to that question is no.
Okay, good. I'm just checking.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
It's an important one.
You've got to be ready, prepared. Easy one to start off with: Catherine Zeta-Jones or Zeta-Jones.
She's English.
Well,
Welsh.
Jones, Welsh.
Is she related to Tom Jones?
I think everybody who's Jones, who actually was born in Wales, are related
from
to each other.
From what I understand,
now.
Everyone in Wales is related in some way or another. Aren't they like our Tasmania?
I believe so.
I quite like a rap group called the Goldie Looking Chain, who hail from Kumbwung.
The Goldie Looking Chain.
Guns don't kill people, wappers do. Summon the police. Woo, woo, woo. Yes, if you're from Wales, Jones. Please tell me, have you ever seen The Maggot?
Okay, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much. What about Bruce Lee? This is the hardest one.
Is it?
This is the tough one.
It's not going to be where I would assume, is it?
I didn't know.
Is it somewhere in America? Is it LA?
Close.
San Diego? San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. Okay. His parents moved there, but then they moved back to Hong Kong when he was 3 months old. So that's why it was like a hard one. Do you want to have an easy one?
Please.
Pamela Anderson.
Boobs. Sorry, what?
Correct. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, she got referenced on Good Place a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Motorbike, not a head.
I wonder if that's why I had her.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's not why I answered that way.
No, that was the natural reaction.
I'm going to guess she's from sunny California somewhere.
It does start with C, but it's way north.
Canada. Manitoba.
I don't know where in Canada she's from, but
Northern Exposure. Plus.
Yeah, she's from which was technically Alaska, right?
Mouston.
Okay, great. It was Sorier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucy Lawless.
She's New Zealand.
Ah, Finn Tostuck. Yeah. What about Nikolai Costa-Waldo?
I want to say Denmark.
Yeah, Denmark.
Hey.
Yeah. He can do accents.
Yes, wondering.
Because obviously he had the Jamie Lannister English accent, but I've also heard him do an American accent.
Yep.
And then his Danish accent is like a mixture of that and
speaking Danish. It's, yeah.
Mm.
What a guy.
Very clever. Finally, another easy one for you. Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I have difficulty answering. Colin Farrell. I'm thinking Colin Firth. That's why you got me all confused here.
Sorry
Colin
about
Farrell
that. I apologize.
And Colin Firth are very different people.
And they're both from different countries.
Colin Farrell was born where Johnny Depp was born, right? Because I've seen a movie where Colin Farrell took his face off and it was Johnny Depp.
What was that? It's not Face Off.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Ah. Colin Farrell, he's English, isn't he?
Colin Firth or Colin Farrell?
Colin Firth, sorry.
Yeah, that's why I was English. Stuttering because I had Geoffrey Rush in my head and I'm doing King's Speech and I'm trying to work out where he'd be from. Colin Farrell would be Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish.
Because he likes fighting and drinking and
green. Just being a lad.
He is such a lad.
He really is.
I would enjoy time with him.
Yeah, I reckon if you in particular were to interview him for like a press junket movie thing, he'd be the guy that would say, look, I'm going to this pub later on.
Yeah, let's grab a beer.
Yeah.
I'd be the guy that'd show up with beers for the interview.
Fantastic.
Here you go. Probably having a tough day.
Yeah.
Crack a tinny.
Oh, crack a tinny.
Let's have a chat.
Wonderful. Well, you did very well. In fact, I think you got, well.
I didn't get them all.
No.
I didn't at all.
But
Pamela, that's a boobs for Pamela Anderson. That's not right.
But you got Denmark for Jamie Lannister, and that's impressive.
Oh, I had a stab at a map.
It was very Scandinavianly correct. It's hard when you're inventing a word and then you mispronounce it as you're saying it for the first time.
Sure. Half the words I do that with, I say by a mistake.
And then it becomes
what's that? A spoonerism.
Yeah,
I do spoonerisms
yeah.
all the time. My brain moves too fast for my mouth.
It happens.
You got to do plow forward. Pretend you meant to say that. Drunch. I want to eat drunch.
Fake it till you make it.
I said drunch by mistake to Shay the other day and she picked it up and now it's drunch is a thing.
So would drunch be technically, would that be like between lunch and dinner?
It's between lunch and dinner, but I don't know where the R is from because drunch makes it sound like brunch.
It's a boozy lunch.
There you go.
That's what it is.
But yeah, I said it. She called me on it. I didn't want to argue. So yeah, that's what I meant to say. So
you know, there's going to be
brunch is a thing now.
It's going to get to a point where she realizes.
Oh yeah, she's going to say to someone else out in the world, and they're going,
"That's not a thing.
That sort of thing.
That's a boozy lunch, Shay. You can't be having that. You're at school." That's going to be it for this episode. If you do have any quizzes, must be Lucy Lawless, quizzes or questions, or you want to defend the whole entire country of Wales, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Tom, thank you.
Snarf, snarf.